Thanks.
Since the fall of communism, Prague has been a very international city, and this has had a deep impact on the city's literary culture. Many Prague writers today have their roots outside the Czech Republic and are not necessarily writing in the Czech language. At the same time, Czech writers themselves have been strongly influenced by the growing cosmopolitanism of the city, which contrasts starkly with the stifling political atmosphere of the 1970s and 80s. In a few weeks' time, Prague's international literary scene will be celebrated with the publication of a major new anthology, a hefty volume featuring two decades of writing from the Czech Republic in English or in English translation. Its editor is the writer and artist Louis Armand, who teaches at Prague's Charles University, and he told me how the anthology came about.
It came about from a desire to represent the richness and diversity of the international literary community that has flourished in Prague over the last 20 years from the time of the Velvet Revolution.
I remember my fellow journalist Alan Levy talking about Prague as the Paris of the 90s, comparing it with the Paris of the 20s. Do you think that's a legitimate comparison?
Well, a great deal, as you know, has been said about this, and I think that perhaps what Levy was trying to do, rather than necessarily making direct comparisons, was to evoke a particular temper, a sense of possibility, a sense of potential, the enthusiasm and excitement that existed here after the revolution, the sense of a renewal, of a renaissance, of something that both writers, both Czech and from abroad, from English-speaking countries and elsewhere, could participate in.
I mean, that's interesting, the fact that this isn't a collection of expat writing. It's very interesting the way that you've got, well, a total of 90 different writers, and some of them are Czech and some of them are not. Some are writing originally in English, some are writing originally in Czech. So would you say that the common thread is a kind of a sense of, among these writers, of being part of an international or cosmopolitan literary community in Prague?
I think today a lot of writers, particularly younger writers, take this more for granted than perhaps was at the time immediately after the revolution, which in publishing terms was very chaotic. Writers who'd been banned under the former regime, alongside Czech classics from previous centuries, and younger writers were all finding their work being published at the same time, exactly when the international scene here is emerging with publications in English, publishing houses, literary journals and newspapers and the like. What we find, though, is when we look back at the early 90s, a lot of these early literary endeavors, the literary journals like Jazyk and Twisted Spoon Press, are deeply involved in a dialogue from the very beginning, publishing either bilingually or publishing translations of works that were little known in English from Czech, German and other languages of the region.
The full title of this anthology is The Return of Král Majáles, Prague's International Literary Renaissance, 1990-2010, an anthology. Can you explain this title?
Okay, the title refers to a traditional student festival on the 1st of May. It's the May festival, Majáles. And in 1965, when Allen Ginsberg visited this city, he found himself elected King of May by the students of Prague, and he wrote a poem celebrating this at the time when he was deported from Czechoslovakia by the communist authorities for allegedly corrupting the city's youth.
And so in a sense, Allen Ginsberg is for you a symbol of that interaction between Czech writers and the English-speaking literary world, which really has been, I think, very important, particularly in the period of normalization between 1968 and the fall of communism, and since then with the opening of borders.
Yes, Ginsberg commanded an enormous amount of international attention at the height of his fame and was translated and published in Czech as early as the 1950s, in fact, and was considered to be extremely influential on the development of a counterculture here, an underground culture, literary culture, during that period of normalization, but in particular leading up to the Prague Spring in 1968.
The anthology has nearly 1,000 pages, 90 writers, so it's difficult to choose a few bits and pieces to give our listeners a taste of the writing. But you've chosen a short extract here from a bit of prose written by Hanna Andronikova, who is a Czech writer who studied, she studied American studies. And this is an extract from her novel Zvuk slunečních hodin, The Sound of the Sundial, I suppose you could translate it as, set in India.
I've always been intrigued by the fact that cows in India are sacred. Unmolested, they roam the streets of towns and villages. In some parts they have a bell around their neck and a jasmine topknot on their head. Sometimes they are painted. But mostly they are wretched. Gaunt, filthy and sick, they munch away on pounds of rotten waste, eating up slops, paper or bits of cloth they find along the wayside. Drivers, rickshaw men and pedestrians break their necks avoiding the cows sprawled in the middle of the road. Anyone who happens to bump into one may face the outrage of the crowd. Cows have power. They can bring traffic to a standstill, and people show them respect. Yet many of them die of starvation.
Hanna Andronikova, who wrote the novel that that's an extract from, she's one of a number of Czech writers now in their 20s and 30s, some in their 40s, who have really come to the fore since the fall of communism. The fear that the muse would go silent without the stimulation, in inverted commas, of censorship is actually not been proven at all, has it? It's on the contrary. There really has been a lot of writing, and quite a lot of interesting writing, in the 20 years since the fall of communism.
I think this is one of the major misconceptions regarding not only Prague, of course, but all of Central and Eastern Europe. This had to do, I think, largely with a Western fascination for the poetry of witness and the sense that writers in the East had genuine experiences, whereas writers in the West no longer had any sense of a compelling or pressing reality to write about. And what we find, of course, with the removal of the constraints imposed by communism, is that writing has been able to, as it were, liberate itself from that particular narrow task of responding to a political situation. And what we find, of course, is a much richer and deeper, I think, body of literature emerging.
And then I think there's also something quite typical, for example, in the extract that we've just heard, where Czech writers would suddenly sort of turn to countries like India to write about. Petra Hulová, another contemporary Czech novelist, has written about Mongolia. There's something much more outward-looking about Czech writing today, isn't there?
Yes, certainly, and I think that this is one of the features of what you might call any sort of mature culture. A culture is not being held back artificially by any sort of constraint, and this applies equally to, let's say, the more international literary community in Prague, which is very diverse in its origins, but also very diverse in the subject matter that it treats.
I was wondering if you could maybe choose something, maybe a piece of poetry this time, written by one of the non-Czech writers who has found inspiration in Prague.
Well, the poet that I'm going to read an extract from is Gwendolyn Albert, who originally came to Prague in 1989 and was involved with the events in November and worked for the Civic Forum and has had a long history of social advocacy in the Czech Republic. So she's perhaps indicative of a particular type of writer in Prague who is deeply involved with the local Czech community. This poem is entitled Final Rewards. Charles VIII, a monarch, accidentally smashed his head against the lintel of a doorway in the Chateau d'Amboise and died in agony, 1498. His dying words were, "I hope never again to commit a mortal sin nor even a venial one, if I can help it." A venial sin being one which is pardonable, such as clumsiness. Machiavelli, a politician, said at the last, "I love my country more than my soul," and Žižka, a religious fanatic, "make my skin into drumheads for the Bohemian cause," and Goethe, a poet, "light, more light."
Famous last words there. there are various stereotypes about the English-speaking community in Prague, of the backpackers who came after the fall of communism in search of cheap beer and new experiences. It's much more subtle than that, isn't it? I mean, there have been so many changes and developments over the last 20 years in terms of the composition of Prague's international English-speaking community, in terms of who has come, who has gone, who has stayed, how people have interacted with the domestic cultural scene here.
Yes, it is very diverse. I think when we look at this, when we look back over 20 years, we can see changes, particularly in the attitudes about the writing that has come out of Prague. This, if we look at some of the earlier anthologies, because this anthology doesn't exist in a vacuum, it is preceded by different anthologies, we find early on these tend to be anthologies that were interested in representing writers from behind the Iron Curtain, that were concerned with a type of exoticism, if you like. And what we've got more recently with some of the anthologies that appeared in the last 10 years is more attention given directly to the quality of the writing itself. Particularly poets like Katarzyna Rudchenkova and Peter Borkowitz have received attention as poets. And Mikhail Ivars has been publishing in English in America with a very respected press, Dulkey Archive. And I think this is a good signal that interest is being directed at Czech writing, being published in English for all the right reasons.
We're sitting here in your flat, surrounded by the proofs for the book. It hasn't yet happened. When will it actually be coming out?
It will be launched at the Alchemy Reading Series at the Globe Bookstore on the 3rd of May. And the anthology includes photographs of all of the authors alongside memorabilia from the last 20 years, flyers, posters, covers of magazines, and it includes an illustrated bibliography, which is as comprehensive as I have been able to make it, reflecting all, hopefully all, or almost all, English language publications in Prague over two decades.
Louis Armand, thank you very much indeed for talking to me about this anthology, The Return of Král Majáles, Prague's International Literary Renaissance, 1990 to 2010, an anthology.